Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and it's a rainy day on the, gosh, what's today, the 30th?
Is it the 30th?
30th. We're getting there. Hey, we're joined today, of course, by our producer, Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning, Carl and Linda.
So how are you feeling today?
Excellent. Beautiful day.
It's a great day. You know, Bob's here, and he's got those magic fingers. You know, people don't realize, but Bob's got 12 fingers. It's a little known fact because he's pushing out. He's brought in 12 or maybe even 13 computers that I have no idea what they do, but one of them's got playing the favorite YouTube of the year. We'll talk about that a little bit. But, of course, then I'm joined by my sweetie, Linda.
Good morning. I love when it rains. I love when it's hot. I love when it snows. I just think you should just be grateful, first of all, that it's raining. Second of all, that we can feel it. Did you know that, well, of course, tomorrow night's New Year's Eve, but do you know that we're going to ring in the new year with a blue moon?
A blue moon.
Can you find that song? Anyway, our good friends, Lou and Kathleen White, they met on a blue moon. And I guess if you really pay attention to it, once in a blue moon does it happen on New Year's Eve. Revelers are ringing in 2010 will be treated to a so-called blue moon. And by popular definition, a blue moon is a second full moon in a month. But also a full moon occurs every 29.5 days, as we know, and most years have 12. On average, an extra full moon in a month, a blue moon occurs every 2.5 years. The last time there was a lunar double take was in May 2007. New Year's Eve blue moons are rarer, occurring every 19 years. The last time was 1990. The next one won't come again until 2028. And we're going to be ringing in the new year at the Oaks Club with the blue moon, celebrating our second anniversary. Isn't that cool?
Well, you know, I guess that's... You know, that's just about as rare as a blue moon then, right?
I guess that's pretty rare.
Okay, now, the other thing we've got is that on January 1st, New Year's Day, when most people are trying to wake up and figure out what happened or find their cars or, who is that? And or, you know, they find their shoes. We're going to be in here from 7 to 9 with Free Fire Radio, bringing in the new year.
With Bob.
Linda, I, and Bad Bob. We'll be here on New Year's Day because we want to start the new year off with the show.
Well, we don't look at it like taking a holiday because this we love what we do. So, where else would we be on January 1, 2010, except for right here in the studio? And we're gonna have muffins and coffee and donuts. Invite you down. We want to meet you and come. We want to just say Happy New Year.
Say Happy New Year to your friends too. So, okay, today we're going to be discussing things that are happening, of course, right here in Shasta County. You know, with our proposed cuts to the deputies, the sheriff's deputies. We're going to be talking about lawsuits that were filed and results of those from right here in Shasta County. But we're also going to be talking about the Christmas bomber, you know, they say alleged. You know, I love this, alleged. I mean, they catch the guy with explosives in his underwear. He tries to light it off. The passengers and the crew are beating on him. The attendants had her high heels, was banging him in the head. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know what? Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. You know, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about those body scanners that we brought up yesterday. You heard it first here, of course. Again, and it's hit the news on the body scanners that you're going to be at the airport. And see what else we're going to... Oh, we're going to talk about a teacher in Quincy, Massachusetts, who wrote a letter to the editor, which has caused a little bit of a firestorm. Because, you know, first people are angry, now they're not sure if this is the greatest satirical piece written in a while, or if this man is serious. And if this man is serious, it's something we ought to talk about. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. This is Free Fire Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460. We're taking your calls this morning, 605-4567. And I'm going to tell you the weather here in a second once I look it up. But let's go to the phones. Martin, good morning.
Hello.
How you doing, Martin?
Hey, I'm probably going to wind up to be like the uncle that nobody wants to invite. But I am really tired of what this government is doing to us. It just boggles my mind that they have enough people following them to do what they're doing to America.
You mean their way of taxation, their way of changing health care? You're going to have to be a little more specific. There's a number of things that are going on right now that it's kind of hard to figure out.
That's exactly what I'm saying. There are so many things that they are throwing at us that they expect us to just swallow.
But Martin, we are swallowing it. We're getting it shoved down our throats, and nobody's doing anything. You know, the only time you're going to be able to do something, I believe, is in the elections. But let's take it. I mean, not in California. In California, it's not going to change. I don't think, not too much. I mean, is Boxer going to lose her seat? Would Feinstein lose her seat? I don't think so. You think Pelosi's going to lose her seat? I don't think so. Now Reid might lose his seat. You know, he's the people in Nevada are just a little bit upset with him. But, for change, the Senate has to change by 2 or 3 votes at a minimum. You know, so that there's no way they're going to have a 60, that any party has a 60 vote to push it through. On the other hand, the House of Representatives probably won't change, the whole control, but they'll probably lose, 15 to 20 seats, but the only thing that will do is make it harder. You know, that's why they're pushing so hard right now to get all of these things through before 2010. Or before
that's
the elections
exactly
in 2010.
What I'm talking about.
Well, what people are going to have to do is just say, I've had enough, that we need to organize. And in a nonviolent way, of course, but just, get people out there that think like you, get them registered, get them out to vote, and also take a look at the national. Look at the national races and look at, the ones that can make a difference. If somebody's running hard against Reid and they've got a chance, you may want to support them in one way or another, volunteer to help or, send them money. If that's what you want. I mean, of course, that goes for both sides. And that's what happened in the, in 2008. And there was a huge change. People organized. They had enough of what was going on. And if people have enough, finally, of what is being attempted right now, this health care bill, the taxes are going to start. As soon as President Obama signs the law, taxes are going to start on people.
Yeah.
From the health bill is not going to take place until like 2012 or even 2014, the taxes are going to begin. They're going to begin.
The problem is people are not being told the truth. That's the problem.
But the truth's out there. They just have to find it, and they have to, they have to care enough. People have to care enough to do it. They've got to look it up. It's out there. I mean, you can sit there and you can go between Fox News and MSNBC, two diametrically opposed news organizations.
I'm going nuts on a daily basis. Going, what is going on with this country?
Well,
why on earth are people following this garbage?
Well, because, a lot of people agree with this, obviously.
That's a problem. That's a serious
problem. Well,
here's
what you have to do is just keep tuning in from 7 to 9 every day.
Or are we going communist, or are we going to stay with the ideals of America?
Well, we'll stay with the ideals of America. I mean, things sway back and forth. And, a lot of the liberals were saying the same thing. Gosh, is our country going down the path of fascism? I mean, that was what they said, and now the term is socialism. So the thing is that it has a tendency to balance out. The majority of the people in the United States, when asked, are leaning on the conservative side.
Now, we have been slapped in the face with some serious communistic ideals.
Well, I don't know if it's things that are different.
And we need to address that.
Yeah. Hey, Martin, thanks a lot for your phone call. Thanks for getting started this morning. Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year to you too.
All right, Martin.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, you can't lose faith. You can't lose faith in our country. Our country rights itself. You know, we may you know, sway to the left or sway to the right, but, you know, eventually we come back into the center. And, I, you know, when people see things, they go, oh, you know, I don't think I like this, and then they vote people out or in. So.
I want to tell you about something that happened in Compton, Los Angeles. Well, I don't think it would happen up here.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure. I don't know, maybe. I'm just trying to figure out what was the reason behind this. The LA County Sheriff's deputies say they expected a good turnout for the department's gifts for guns. Okay, it's a gun exchange in Compton. So a guy drove up and gave, get this number, 58. 58 guns. He dropped off. There's no questions asked. I don't know if they're hot. You don't know what they are. So he drove away with thousands of dollars. I don't know how much they get for each gun, but he drove away with thousands of dollars of gift certificates and such. And so the Lieutenant Anthony Lucia says that is 58 guns off the street.
Well, I doubt if those 58 guns were ever on the street, personally. But, you know, the thing about this is these gifts for guns, what they do is they just take, oh, no questions asked. Do they ever run the serial numbers on those guns to see if they're stolen? If perhaps, you know, do they ever do a ballistics test on them to see if they've been used in crimes? And if they have, no questions asked, I mean, does that mean that by the fact you turn it in that you get a free pass from the law enforcement people? Does that mean that I can go out there and I use this weapon in a robbery or a shooting? And then I turn it in, and I get $1,000 worth of gift certificates. Does that mean then, is if somebody accidentally finds out it was used in a crime, that they can't come after me because of that?
605-4567. We're taking your calls. What do you think about this? Do you know, is it helpful? Is it just downright ridiculous? This is Carla Lindebot, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Move those hips.
A portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State, maybe even Northern, maybe all of California. You know, and not that I've been in every one of them, but I've been in many of them. And not only that, but Espresso Joe's, you know, when you go down there and you can sit out there and have a coffee fixed by Kimmy and the girls and, you know, discuss and solve every political question in the world just by sitting down out there with that gang that sits out there and discusses what's going on. But Joe and Shelley have a great place there. They support our community, and they've supported us and our show ever since the very beginning. And I can't say enough about them and what great people they are and what a great shop they have.
Yeah, we're going to ring in the new year with some of their great coffee. Hey, it's currently 42 degrees, and a shout out to Rick and Lori Goyne, really great friends, great Americans, by the way. We ran into them last night. It was wonderful to see their faces, and
Rick's been out pig hunting.
Maybe they'll come by and have a little Martinelli's with us on a New Year's Day. They were at a wedding. Yeah, it's so great to see them as they, and in fact, their daughter got married this year. You got some stuff there.
Yeah, you know, what we've seen is a couple of things. Let's start talking local issues here. We'll go from the serious to maybe one that's not quite so serious. It appears that the Shasta County Sheriff's deputies and jail correction officers may take a 9% pay cut. And the reason for that is they're going to start paying their own share of retirement benefits. And that's an expense that the county and the taxpayers have paid for the last two decades. New hires will also going to have to wait an additional 5 years before being able to retire with full retirement benefits. Now, this has not been passed yet, but you can imagine the representatives from the union, about 150 deputies and jail guards, say that these cuts are inequitable. Now, here's what I, you know, to have it all paid for by the county does not appear fair. I think what the and I think the stance of the guards and the correctional people is that, and the sheriff's deputies is that, yeah, okay, we may have to cut, or we may have to, we know there's cuts, we may have to pay, but when Shasta County, the amount that Shasta County supervisors is proposing is the largest in the state of California, according to the spokesman for the deputies. The things that bother me, I guess that's the right word, is that it used to be that people went to work for the government. They knew they were going to make a lot less money than they would out in the you know, private sector.
It was noble.
It wasn't just noble, but it, you know, in some cases it was. But it was, the fact is that they had a solid job. They, you know, that being fired is going to be, you know, hard to do, you know, especially if you're working for the U.S. government. And then you had a retirement and you had benefits. But you made a lot less money than you did in the private sector. And so those were things to entice people to stay in the government sector, working for the government, was because you would have these entitlements. Well, unfortunately, in today's economy, and over the last few years, government workers are making as much, if not more, than people in the private sector, and especially when you're talking about right here in Shasta County. And not only are they making $70,000 to $80,000 to $100,000 a year, they then get the benefits. They also have the retirement paid for. While the people that are paying for this and their taxes are making $50,000 to $60,000, if not less. And there's something wrong there that a government worker is making more than people in the private sector on the average. Now, again, I'm not saying they don't earn it. You know, you start talking about first responders, you know, you're never going to hear me say, oh, you know what, they make too much money, these, you know, these policemen and these firemen. You know, and, well, usually the people that say that have never kicked in a door, or they've never walked up to a car and somebody shot at them, or they've never entered a burning building. Now, the question is, though, is how much of, you know, how much should we continue to pay into this? Or should there be a, you know, another way of doing it? Should there be some paid in by the unions into the retirements? We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we've got some people on the line. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. How are you doing?
We're great, Bob. You?
Good. Pretty good. I just want to comment on about the county workers and their pay. I don't know where you're getting your figures from, but I know county workers of Shasta County don't make that much money. They're more in the $30,000 to $40,000 range.
And you're right, Bob. Not all do. But, and I'm speaking more of a, generically on, you know, state and federal.
Oh, yeah.
But there are, and you know, there are government workers, Shasta County government workers that are making $80,000, $90,000, over $100,000 a year.
Oh, yeah. And how much of a cut are the supervisors taking?
That's a good, you know, that is an outstanding point. I think they took 5%, didn't they?
Well, they really didn't take 5% cut, they're not taking their pay raise.
Well, you know, but it was less than what they proposed for the deputies.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I do know that.
The same pay. Yeah.
Yeah. You know that we're in a tough situation here, as you know. You know, as anybody that reads the paper or listens to the news or just watches what's going on. I think what, $7.5 million short again?
Yeah.
What do you think should be done, Bob?
I think the politicians need to be changed out. In other words, out with the old and get some new people in there. And I think they ought to take a pay cut, too. They ought to pay for their own benefits, like haircuts and shoe shines and their own gas. Take away their gas cards and make them pay for their own cars. I mean, I pay for my gas. Why should I pay for their
I didn't know that they got gas. Did they get free haircuts? I didn't know that.
I think it's
that's a little added.
That's kind of out of it.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'd have to
check
on that one.
Whoa.
But you know what? You know, we have to watch out when we say let's just make a sweeping change here. because, you know, look what happened. You know, unless you really know what's on the other end of that change, we might want to. But here's the thing. There have to be things done. Do you have a suggestion? How would we? How are we going to raise more revenue for our county, Bob?
I don't think it's really necessary to raise more revenue. It's to make cuts in spending.
Well, you know, I tell you what, you know, they've cut a lot of stuff out of those budgets. I'm thinking is that the only way Shasta County and Redding is going to get better is they've got to find ways of bringing revenue in besides taxing us. And I think that we've got to take a serious look at what we're doing to help businesses get started and what we're doing to help businesses thrive and to help bring businesses in here. Early next year, we're going to have a small business week, and we've got some people that, that started their businesses up here and have been successful. They have moved here from other parts of the state. And we're also going to talk to people that have been hampered by our rules and regulations and restrictions and fees. And it's not just all state. A lot of it is county and some of it is city. And we need to maybe take a good look at this and say, what can we do to help businesses thrive instead of putting a burden on the businesses?
Excellent. And I also hear that, you know, we spend a lot of money on illegal aliens, catering to them, to their language and everything. I mean, why is a DMV book printed in 13 different languages?
Why is it?
I don't, you know, I thought this was America. English was a primary language. Why do they cater to all these
because we don't,
people?
We don't have the internal fortitude, the intestinal fortitude to say, English is going to be our official language. Every time you bring it up, you're called a racist. You're called, you just don't understand. Well, no, I do understand. If you're a citizen of this country and you become a citizen through a long process, you should be able to speak English because you're the one that's going to be voting. You're the one that should be driving. You're the one that makes the decisions. Then why isn't it in English?
Why are
voting pamphlets in another language?
I don't know.
Because they've got to be able to vote, and if they've got to be able to vote, they've got to be citizens, right? You can become a citizen and not speak English well enough to understand what, you know, how to vote?
Yeah.
I have a problem with this. Hey, Bob, thanks for your phone call.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right, you too.
All right.
You know, I do have a problem with this.
You know, we talked about the other day, Santa Claus needed documentation to come into California. And what should have happened was that Santa should have just walked across the border with his reindeer behind him and said, I'm here. And he could have gotten a free medical. He could have gotten a free housing. He could have had all types of help. His animals could have been taken care of. You know, there's something wrong with that.
Well, I guess part of me wonders, am I just getting older? You know,
getting better.
Thanks. What happened to the days? You know, it wasn't too long ago when your word meant something. When you could, I mean, it's so funny. I was telling Carl the other day how I was listening to a snippet from a movie about how,
snippet, I love that word.
It was from the Poseidon Adventure, and I guess I just heard the sound of this particular, you know, portion of the movie. And it was a kid who said, "Oh yes, Joe took me downstairs to show me the pipes of the engine," and automatically my mind went to, "What was Uncle Joe doing with you down in the engine room?" Which 10, 15, 20 years ago, I never would have gone there. So it's just because what's happening is our society. Carl's looking at me like, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with...
We're talking about reindeer across the border.
Well,
what's this, Uncle Joe and the pipes?
It has to do with our society and how we're brainwashed that, you know, what happened to trusting your neighbor? What happened to borrowing somebody's
lawnmower,
thank you, or their tools, and returning them, or returning a tank of gas full if you've borrowed somebody's car? What happened to borrowing somebody's car or letting somebody borrow your car because you trust them? So my point is that I think that we're so jaded these days. What are you laughing at? I mean, it's a roundabout thing.
The reason you don't do the lawnmower thing is because some guy named Jose will come up and cut your grass far cheaper for a whole year than it takes to buy a riding lawnmower. You know, that's why. And, you know, the thing is that we have changed and we shouldn't have, you know.
Well, we got to take a phone call, and we want to take a phone call. This is Carl and Linda Bott. You're listening to KCNR. Let's go to Noni on line one.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Noni, good morning.
Great. Hey, good morning. Just hope you had a Merry Christmas, and I want to wish you a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And you were talking about, when I first turned the radio on there, you were talking about the illegal status of the immigrants in the area, or I mean in our nation. And I just got a newsletter from a pastor in Oklahoma, and if I may just read just a part of that to you. And he talks about Oklahoma passed a law to get rid of illegal aliens, and they are gone. Oklahoma passed a sovereignty law to reclaim the rights of the states under the Constitution. A new law introduced will save Oklahoma from liability under the so-called health bill. Oklahoma passed a law to erect a monument in front of the state capitol with the Ten Commandments. And Oklahoma passed a law to report every abortion performed. Oklahoma passed a law that employees could have a gun in their car at work. And then he goes on into some voting stuff I probably shouldn't read. But at any rate, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be nice if most of the states or all the states would implement those laws as well?
Well, I like the sovereign, I think it's the 10th Amendment for state sovereignty. I like that you can, you know, you take back control of your state.
Right.
But it's
right.
A, you know, but the thing is that many of the people in some of the states, and they're real happy having the federal government take over and give them money, and because it means that their programs that they are so strong on then can be implemented. That,
exactly.
That takes more money from us.
And that's the thing of it. They do not know where that money is coming from. They don't understand it, you know.
Well, it's
and
like,
I do.
Yeah.
I remember when my daughters were in high school. And I was complaining about my paycheck and all the taxes, you know. And I said, wait until you get out into the world and you're working hard for your money and you see how much of that money is going into taxes. Then you understand, you know.
Well, it's not going to get any better. It's, you know, I just can't see how it's going to get any better unless we find a way to generate more revenue. But right now, we're stuck. And the only way you're going to be able to implement these programs is to raise taxes. And that's coming. I mean, just, you know, you can, you know, the old watch my lips, you know, no new taxes, you know, no new taxes for anybody under a certain amount. Yes, we're already going to be hit with those. We're getting hit with fees. And guess what? A fee is another word for a tax.
Right. Yeah, the whole thing is just bizarre. So, but anyhow, I thought, well, at least sounds like Oklahoma's getting on the right track, and it wouldn't hurt us to follow along a little bit too, maybe. So.
Sounds like Oklahoma is drawing its line.
Yes,
it's great. We've got to take a break here, Noni. Thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you, God bless.
All right, Happy New Year.
Glad you're back on, and Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Carl and the Bott, Free Fire Radio. You know, our guest at 8 o'clock is going to be Dr. Ray Johns from Haven. You may want to talk a little bit about that.
Hold on the phone, Dex. We'll be right after. We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to KCNR 1460.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and the Bott. Let's go to the phones. Tex, you're on. Hello, Tex.
Good morning, Tex. You're on the air.
This is Kay.
Okay, good morning.
Oh,
you're
Kay.
On the air.
Oh, we're sorry, Kay. It looks like Bad Bob pushed the wrong button. What a surprise that is.
Tex was before me. Do you want to let him on first?
No, we'll let you on first.
You're on. Let's
you're
do
on.
It.
Otherwise, we'll probably lose you.
Yeah, I like it. I like it that you can hear the radio on the line, on the telephone lines. I like that.
Okay.
Fabulous. How are you today? What's on your mind, Kay?
Well, you know, what I'm wondering about is why is it that they always seem to take our, they seem to go for the enforcement or the fire people?
Yeah, the first responders.
The first responders when they cut. You know, I mean, there are other things in government that aren't as important and that maybe could be done other ways. And but yet they go for what we need the most and what everybody needs.
Well, and, you know, that's a good point. You know, the fact is, though, is that if you didn't cut out anything else, if you didn't touch everybody, if you didn't try and touch everybody, you would have some parts of the government that would just be, be decimated. You know, like as an example, the Shasta County Veterans Service Office.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. that helps so many veterans and right. brings in so many veterans. They compete against the Sheriff's Department and the DA mm-hmm. on for funding. So if you didn't touch, if you know, if you said, okay, we're going to take like 1% out of the sheriff's deputies or the DA, that means then like they might lose 20% in their budget. So it's got to be across the board. Now, I think, though, they've got to take a look at if we've been paying all of the retirement benefits mm-hmm. for the last two decades, is that there's got to be something that they start to pay, you know, pay in. Now, I guess the question is how much is the question?
Well, are they on your PERS?
I think they are. We'll have to check. Yeah, they are. They're under PERS. And that's where the money's going into.
Because it sounded like from the city that all the city employees were being paid totally, you know, under PERS.
Uh-huh.
That they didn't have to pay anything in. But I've had a friend or two who worked for the city, and they said that they did pay into it.
It may be different. It may be different unions on that. But we'll. I tell you what. We're going to have.
Well, and enforcement is different yeah. because of their of. You know, they get earlier retirement and stuff like that. Well, but I don't see that they're going to change that because that's basically because of the nature of the job.
Right. You know, I think somebody said, how'd you like to have a 55 or 60-year-old, you know, policeman chasing somebody down the streets? I mean, and I can tell you, the last time I was in combat, I was 58. And there was no way I was going to be able to keep up with a 25-year-old when we're running down the streets because, you know, it's a couple of times, you know, it's one of those things that I can do it once.
But you can still shoot straight.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things you can do it once, but you may not do it the next day quite as fast.
And you could shoot.
Well, and the thing of it is putting them in that, you know, I mean, how would you like somebody who's been with the, you know, worked in law enforcement for 30 years or 20 years or something like that and done a really good job, and then because he's older and he couldn't maneuver right, you know, something yeah. just didn't work right, he, you know,
you've got
that
to
was
have,
the end of it.
Yeah, well, you've got to have jobs for them up as they get older that they can stay in and not have to do that.
Well, maybe they could do more of the community service stuff.
Well, you know, community officers can do something
yeah.
like that. But
yeah, instead of having the young ones, have the old ones.
Hey, thank you so much for your phone call. Okay, we have to take a quick
break. Okay, thank you. Keep
here.
Up the good work.
Oh, thank you
Happy
so much.
New Year.
You too.
You're currently listening to KCNR, and the temperature is 42 degrees. Let's go to the phones. Good morning.
Roadrunner.
Roadrunner.
Hey, good morning, Carl and Linda.
Good morning.
Hey, Roadrunner. Hey, wait a minute, Roadrunner. Before you say anything, hey, Tex, give us a call back. Somehow the wrong button was pushed. Okay, Roadrunner, go for it.
Sorry about that. Hey, Carl, when you were 58 and couldn't keep up with those 25-year-olds, that was a few years back, my friend.
Hey, you know what? I didn't say I couldn't keep up. I just said that it was harder.
Well, today you're probably slower than that Harley Davidson years.
Well, you know what? You're right.
Hey, listen, you know, about this this raising more funds and taxing more and everything else, whatever happened to the idea of cutting out some government so that we didn't have to spend that money, which would leave more money in the hands of the people that spend it, which boosts our economy? Last I heard, and this was several years ago, we were already over 60% of the U.S. population is in some way or another employed by the U.S. government. Now, when more than half of the people work for the government and less than half are supporting their paychecks, that seems like a losing proposition to me.
Well, you know, I would have to check that. You know, it may be, you know, you count up maybe all governments of some kind, you know, city, county, state,
uh-huh.
you know, U.S., that might be, you know, military. But that seems to be you're right, though, that's a losing proposition. There's no way you can fix that. If you've got more people working for the government than the ones paying the taxes, but the people that are in government are also paying taxes too, and people have to understand is that that's not, you know, they're paying taxes just like the civilians are. But hey, Roadrunner, we got to take a break.
Hey,
here.
Happy New Year's!
Hey, Happy New Year to both of you. Thanks for the great job you're doing.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And by the way,
your calls.
You know, by the way, you know, riding a Harley, you know, it's you're making a statement. Riding
sure.
anything else is kind of like making just, you know, not enough noise.
I know. I know. Mine is so boring. It just starts up when I turn the key. And
I heard that it didn't one
it
time.
It backs up when I push the reverse button.
Yeah, backs up. Okay, yeah. That's because
you're
already
day,
gentlemen
you
need that. All
Does
right.
it have
Happy
running
New
lights?
You bet.
Happy New Year.
We're going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott.
Bye.
Hey, Tex, thanks for calling back, and we're going to get to you right after these messages. So hang on. This is KCNR 1460. We just had a real issue with Tex on the line. I'm not sure what it is. Third time. His eggs are burning.
Probably has to go to work or something.
He's just got eggs burning over there. So, well, coming up at 8 o'clock after we listen to Fox News, we have a very special guest that is a complete icon in our community, I would say. We're not going to give you his name yet, but
We already said he was going to.
Yeah, but that was for the first half. The second half.
So you mean we're just going to keep this a secret?
Yep. For three more minutes. Go ahead. What do you got there?
You know, there's a. We talked about our local. Things are going on in government, and then as soon as the phone calls start, because this is open line, and as we point out, this is your show. You know, we're just providing airwaves for people to give their thoughts on any type of subject, and. Oh, it looks like Tex called back again. Let's just go to Tex
before we have a chance to dump
him. Persistent little bugger. Love it.
Tex, you're on.
Hello?
You're on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tex. Sorry that you kept
you're on the
off.
Air. For...
I demand that you communists let me on the air. I'm a taxpaying citizen.
How do we know that?
How do you know that?
Yeah, how do we know that?
Well, Tex, you've got 2 full minutes to just, are you ranting or are you sharing or what are your thoughts this morning?
Am I on the air?
You're
yes,
on the
you
air.
Are on the
oh, yeah.
air. Be careful what you say, but yep. you're on the air.
Well, I was just want to say how great it is to have you back on the air again.
Well, thank
and
you.
You're right on the money with the government. Not only do they make too much money, there's way too many of them. They're a bunch of lying, thieving con men and con women.
I don't think all of them are, Tex.
Most of them are. Our local representative has about $20 million racked up in the last 20 years. I don't have that kind of money. I thought he's working for me. We went to war on a lie. There's no weapons of mass destruction. We went to another war on a lie. There was no Bay of Tonkin incident. You got an IRS department wasting billions of dollars. What the heck do they do?
How about Department of Energy? That's my favorite one.
That was my second one. Department of Energy since 1977. What the heck do they do?
They've got 27,000 employees, and they spend billions of dollars a year, and they've solved our energy problems.
Exactly right.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think there's a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. You keep saying to vote in this. There's no shred of difference between them.
Hasn't been.
What they want to do and what they're... The benefactors give them the money, the lawyers, the pharmaceutical companies, that's who they're going to vote for.
We've got a hard break here, Tex. Thanks for your phone call, and Happy New Year.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. I tell you what, that bad Bob, and those magic fingers pushing those buttons.
It's currently 42 degrees. Our guest this morning is CEO, he's wearing the gold badge, by the way. I'm telling you, I'm very impressed.
What's that CEO mean? Oh, okay.
Dr. Ray John from Haven Humane Society, good morning, and thank you for being our guest. This is the first time you're sitting in this seat at our wonderful KCNR 1460 studios. Thank you and good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you, too.
Plush. Plush, isn't it?
It's plush. And congratulations on starting this. This is wonderful.
Well, you know, we had to buy our own station so we could have our own show.
And, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah. Ain't going to put us down. So, Dr. John, could you share with us towards the end of this year what has been accomplished and what are the missions and the goals for 2010?
Great question. We've handled over 7,900 animals this year. It's been incredible how many have come through the door. And that's not just dogs and cats. That's pythons and roosters and horses and pygmy pork belly pigs. We've had everything. We were able to spay or neuter about 4,500 animals, which we're excited about. I was able to adopt out of every four dogs, three were able to
fabulous.
Get up.
That's a great percentage.
The cats are still at a 50-50. There's just so many, and there's so many irresponsible people. Our food program, we're giving away 500 pounds of food a week now for free. If you'll keep your animal, I'll feed it. And it's kept a lot of people from surrendering.
We've had you on an earlier show,
yeah.
and And people in these hard times are giving up their animals. And they don't have to. I mean, it's because of the expense. You all will provide that food to them for free. And, you know, animal, I guess things like leashes. I'm not sure what other stuff. Yeah. But other things to help people keep their animals.
Anything we can do. Because, you see, if you surrender your animal, I have to take it. But then I've got to put it in a kennel. I've got to feed it, manpower to take care of it, medic. And it's exorbitantly expensive. So it's actually cheaper. And the food is all donated. People from all of the area have been donating food, so we're able to do that. We've started some education programs. We've been in the schools just talking about responsible petting. And we still provide the service to the city of Reading. All animal regulation comes under our domain. So we're doing animal cruelty cases. We're taking vicious dogs and their owners to court. And I think we're keeping this loose dogs from all over the place. Mm-hmm. Improvement. We're still not big enough to supply to take care of all we have. I mean, I had 52 dogs in there this morning. I've got close to 100 cats and assorted birds and all that. And I'm just like this office here, totally maxed out. So that's something for the future. We've got to build.
Okay. So what are the goals for when you say the future? We have to build. How can we help? What do we need to do? Give us a goal or a visual in the first quarter.
Yeah, a visual would be, first of all, I need help with the food. If I need it to keep the 500 pounds going so I don't have to get any bigger. The building, I've been working on some renovation. We need help eventually. We need paint. The place looks like a prison because it's the old gray brick wall type thing, and I want to lighten it up. Mm-hmm. We have two resident artists now that work. One's a dog trainer, one's a vet assistant. But we're painting murals everywhere. We're trying to lighten it up. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for volunteers to help us paint, clean up the place, and just give it a classy look. It looks good. I want it to look great. I don't like good. And that's what we need. Funding as usual. It cost me $394 for to treat and take care of a female dog. For a male, it cost about $250, and I'm selling them for $135 and $85. So I'm losing my shirt.
$394 for a female dog. What break that down?
Okay, you start with the examination, then you start with all their shots that they need, and then you talk with the spaying itself. Then there's the insurance that we give them, and then there's the food that goes along with them, and then the supplies. And so when you total it all out package-wise, it's close to $400. And I'm now doing the same thing or charging $135 starting January 1st. So
$135 is what it costs if you're going to adopt a pet.
Right.
Okay. But you're getting a pet that's spayed or neutered, and they've had all their shots. Their
medications.
They're healthy.
They're healthy. Their nails have been checked. They've been gone through thoroughly by a veterinarian. So, and there's no way we could charge what it cost us, but we're kind of in a losing proposition here. If I'm going to get them all adopted out, I've got to charge with the community.
This is great. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk about puppies versus adult dogs and how we can kind of sway people to go the route of adoption. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Dr. Ray John. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Abad. Our guest today is Dr. Ray John. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest coffee emporium in the city, I believe. They will give you any type of coffee and any type of special coffee drink you like. They do it with a smile. They have great prices there. They sell gourmet coffee beans by the pound at
Espresso Joe's.
At Espresso Joe's right there. And, of course, they have everything you could possibly want in a walk-in humidor and tobacco accessories. Joe and Shelley, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
It's currently 40 degrees. Good morning. Well, Dr. Ray John, CEO of Haven Humane Society. Before the break, we talked about puppies versus adult dogs. Let's talk about how do you change a family, if they're coming and they want this whole, you know, puppy dumb, darling little cuddly Muffy thing, and how do you change that, the mentality of going with an older pet?
We've been working really hard on that. A lot of my volunteers are taking what's called star training, and part of the job is to socialize the older dogs so that they'd be easier to walk with, to play with, and all that, put toys with them. So when the people see the older dogs, they say, ah, this one's all ready to walk. This one's trained to go outside. This one is nice and calm versus the little bundle of fur that rips your couch out the first night, eats your shoes, piddles everywhere, and it's a lot of work. And we have people who will adopt, and 6 weeks later they'll bring back this monster dog that's out of control and say, we can't handle it.
You met our dog.
Is that
Elk Killer.
Yeah.
You met Elk Killer, right?
Yeah.
605-4567. We're taking your calls. Our guest is Dr. Ray John from Haven Humane. You know what? When we... If we were to do it again, I mean, we love our pet, don't get me wrong. She's our doll. It's so much work. We would probably adopt an older dog.
Yeah.
And we thought about adopting an older dog to have as being a partner for her, a playmate. But we our schedule is so crazy. So how do you tell people, do you actually have them fill out something that's good? Let's
they
talk
fill
about
out,
that.
They fill out forms, adoption forms, and we ask them all the kind of questions, including one that I didn't even know till I started 17 months ago. You can't adopt a dog out if you don't own your property. The landlord has to give you permission because the landlord is responsible for what your dog does.
Wow.
So people come and say, I want to adopt Fido. And I say, I have to talk to your landlord. Well, no, you don't. Yes, I do, because he's responsible for Fido's.
Yeah, Fido goes and bites somebody.
Yeah, so yeah. They have to give permission. So we kind of talk about and that they have a proper kennel, they have proper size fencing, because my animal regulations officers spend a lot of part of their day in Reading chasing down dogs that have cleared a fence or a broken fence and gone through it. So kind of an answer to the older dog thing, too. I have people just have the wrong understanding. I had an 88-year-old man try to get a pit bull puppy from me recently who was on a cane. And I had to explain to him that pit bull puppies are excitable, having fun, and it's going to take the cane out by accident, and he's going to be down. And I showed him a dog that was well-trained, about 5 years old, beautiful health, very calm. And he says, well, I'm going somewhere else. I want a puppy. So... what can I do? But I couldn't adopt it out in good conscience. You know?
Yes,
yeah, especially
of course.
After he gets you down.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. You know, a lot of people do know, but maybe a lot of people don't know, is that your background before you got to Haven Humane and the many other billets that you've had that help people, you started out in the Marine Corps.
Yes, sir.
Now,
I was a sergeant, and yes, you know, a sergeant is very powerful.
It's powerful.
And I only answered to God.
That was okay. There's a story about how this gentleman, this man that comes in to help everybody, that helps not only humans that are in problem, having problems, but you know, all these animals that need to be, you know, that need help and assistance. That's Dr. Ray John. But we're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we're going to talk about how he got a special deal. He's probably one of the few people in the entire history of the United States Marine Corps that got a special deal to enlist. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
You know,
feeling it?
Well,
yeah.
Know, the problem with that is, Bad Bob, it sounds like sometimes... the station sounds like that. You're playing music, but you're rubbing it in. What is this? I've heard that last night at 8:42, that same noise. I didn't know that was going
on. Oh, you're listening to Carl and Linda Bach. Good morning. It's 14. This is, it's 42 degrees outside. This is KCNR 1460. And our guest this morning is Dr. Ray John. Oh, yeah. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
You guys have a great Marine story. Why don't you shoot?
Okay. Now, you know, when you come into the Marine Corps, of course, it's an honor. And but Dr. Ray John, and people don't realize this, that this man was a star before he even came into the Marine Corps. And tell us the story how the Marines enlisted you.
In April of 1964, I was a senior in high school at South San Francisco High School, and I was a track runner, and I was running 109.8, 440 and 49 flat. And I was being recruited by several colleges. But one day, a sergeant major showed up with all his medals and his blues, and he said, "Son, you're going to run for the Quantico Marines." And the Quantico Marines has just set the world's record in the mile relay. And you're going to go on the European tour, and you'll be running in France and in Italy and in Greece. And all I saw was babes on the beach. So I enlisted within 24 hours. They let me graduate. I left a week after, and in boot camp, when it got rough, I said, "Don't worry, I'm a track star. I'm going to run for the Quantico Marines." Then I got sent for infantry training, and I said the whole time, the tougher guy, "Don't worry, it's just a matter of time when I'm sent to Quantico." And then I got sent to a mortar outfit in the grunts, and I went into the old gunnery sergeant, and I won't use his language, but I said, "You probably don't recognize me, Gunny, but I'm Ray John, and I'm a track star, and I'm supposed to report to the Quantico Marines." And he said, "The only running you'll be doing is when a Viet Cong shoots you in the rear." And so when I went to war, I spent almost every day that year saying, "Guys, this is a mistake. You know, I'm a rage, I'm a track star." And when it hit the fan, the guys would say, "Hey, track star, you know, how's it going?" So I never got to run for them. And I'm wondering to this day, maybe I got, you know, buffaloed. But
I'm sure that didn't happen. You know, and in fact, there's probably, you know, you're lucky that the Naval Investigative Service is not hunting you down for being unauthorized absence from the Quantico track team.
Maybe they're looking for me.
They're still looking for you. Where is this guy? He's supposed to have been reported here, in 1964. Yeah. You know, so
he's a doctor hiding and Reading at the animal shelter.
But anyway, the good news is
Haven Humane. I mean,
the Marine Corps was the best thing ever happened to me. But it wasn't exactly what I picked it. Running and tracking, and these beautiful Grecian gals would be sitting there saying, "You ought to go to the beach or something."
Yeah.
Never happened.
But, you know, dropping, you know, grapes into your mouth. Yeah. You were a hero. That's right.
Dress blues in Europe. I couldn't wait.
You know, it's Sergeant Major as he was walking out going, "Oh, wow. You know what? I don't think he was smart enough to run for the track team if you believe that one."
Yeah. Hey, let's clear something up. This morning, before we got here, we flipped on a news source. We heard
local news.
We want to clear up, just in case you're thinking about the Haven Humane problem. It was not this county.
No, it was Butte County's Haven shelter, and some volunteers had come forth and saying the place was a disaster and needed work, and it was crowded and in bad condition. That is not connected in any way with ours. We might be old, but we're impeccably clean and sterilized and looks great. And there's a lot of pride there. So
it's kind of like an old Marine.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you adopt a python?
I stay.
Be carefully, Bob says.
I stay about 15 foot away.
Stick him in the back seat.
Actually, what we tend to do is, well, the person has to have snake experience. They have to be one who's a collector and all that. And what happens, people get one when they're 8 inches long, and then all of a sudden it's 4 feet and it wants to wrap around the baby. And that's when they bring it to us.
Well, you know, that is exactly what happened, I believe, to a couple in Texas or Louisiana or something. They had an 8-foot Burmese python that got out, got into the crib and killed
their
2-year-old.
I mean, typically, how many snake people come through the... I know this is weird, but I mean, it's a reality.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe what comes through the door. I mean, I get... someone recently gave us... a whole series of birds. You remember the exotic birds? I mean, this fellow got too old to take care of him, and he calls me and he says, "I've got $20,000 worth of birds that are all very exotic." And he says, "I can't feed, I am incapable of taking care of them. I think he was close to death." So I took him off his hands. Well, I can't just take an exotic bird and say, "For $10, it's yours. By the way, it's going to live another 80 years.
Yes.
So I
some of them do. Some of them live a very long time.
So I had to get a hold of the bird community and the birders out there and pass the word for 48 hours that I have these incredible birds. And birders showed up with their cages and their knowledge, and they tested them. And I mean, it's... So
fascinating.
People watch us like a hawk for the latest things, like literally hawks too, but for the latest thing we come in to see if they can take it, you know.
I have a question for you. Yesterday, have you heard about the EPA doing tests on the flea sources, the flea and tick sources that are the kind...
Flea and tick products.
That are the ones that you apply on the skin. Have you heard about this?
Not yet, no.
Okay, well, yesterday I went... I just think this is fascinating that you happen to be our guest today and this happened to us yesterday. We have a 10-pound dog who is a cross between a Maltese and a Pomeranian.
And an elk killer.
And... for years, with my other dogs that I've had, I've used Frontline, which is the little the capsule that you open and you stick it on the back of their neck. Now, some people think that, oh my gosh, that's terrible, but it does work. And I don't like the collar. But anyway, long story short, I go to Happy Tails yesterday and I started to ask them. You know, usually in the past, I put this on my pets and. It immediately, you know, I just have to do it once a month. Well, within 3 weeks, there's a flea problem. I do go to the doggy park on a regular basis, but she should be able to engage with other animals. And she handed me this about the EPA continues to evaluate flea and tea products and said that they could possibly be changing the dosage because some animals have gone into seizures from it being too strong. So I thought, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense because I've never had the issue before that at 3 weeks, it's not working. So I just thought I would share that. I think if we've got people who like to study and investigate, maybe they can help us out by looking at the Frontline investigation.
I'll have my veterinarian actually look into that. She's very good at research, and I'll get back to you on that.
Let us know.
This is Carl Lindebaugh on Free Fire Radio. We're going to take a quick break here. KCNR 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. That's 605-4567. You can send us emails, too, if you just send it to carl@kcnr1460.com. We're get emails all the time. People, we just got a nice one from Russ that to Linda and I about congratulating us on our anniversary.
Thank you.
That was nice. Thanks a lot, Russ.
Hey, our guest today is Dr. Ray John, who's the CEO of Haven Humane Society. Is there a trend that usually happens at the end, around this time of year, beginning and then also beginning with New Year's, that we need to look for with animals or being returned or, you know, something to look out for?
Well, the one thing that I'm cautious about this time of the year, everybody wants to buy their kid a puppy or a kitty for Christmas, and everyone comes in excited, and it's been going on the past couple of weeks, and it's sad when I have to dissuade a family from taking a pet, because you can tell they're not ready yet, and, you know, it's a gift they give on Christmas, and then 5 days later, it's tore the house apart, or the kid doesn't like it, or, as you said earlier, the kid goes back to school, and all of a sudden, mom and dad say, what are we going to do with the puppy? Yeah. So, it's an impulse buying, and we're trying to be really careful that we spend some time. The other thing is, if you have a dog at home and you want a dog, you can't adopt a dog from me unless your dog from home comes and meets the dog.
Oh,
and those two have a meaning of minds.
Do you get like a 2 week session there that the two dogs get together and can they bring it back if there's a problem?
We bring them there and we watch them for a while. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we temperament test. Every single dog at Haven is temperament tested in 10 different categories.
How do you do that?
It's incredible. Things like we'll put food in the bowl and we'll let the dog start eating. Then we'll put our hand in to go for the food. And we have a plastic hand that we use. And the dog bites the fingers off, then you know it's very, very protective, and you got to be very careful. And we test it. We take a baby, a fake baby, and the baby comes up, and it pulls on the dog's tail and kind of roughhouses with the dog. Now, a Labrador, half the time, will just roll on its belly and let it do what it wants to. Other types of dogs might want to eat the baby. And so we rate them, and we rate them for all ages, 12 and up, 5 and up, and 3 and up.
Okay, so you can, you know, this would be a good dog if you had children that are at least 12 years old,
yep,
so they could have a fighting chance.
And the anger I get every week, Carl, is somebody comes in and their little 3-year-old sees this beautiful German Shepherd and wants it. But the German Shepherd is tough with the handlers, snaps, mm-hmm, needs a lot of training, and I have to say, no, it's not age appropriate. And people get very emotional over animals anyway, and so
they do.
They think
they say, "Well, you're so cruel, you won't let it out." Well, I can't, you know.
Well, while we're on the subject of pets, I thought it was really important. I went to a website this morning about foods that can be poisonous to your pets, and I've had this conversation before because it's been the holidays. People are cooking. Your dishwasher is open as you're cleaning your plates. So if you don't mind, I would love to give you a couple things that you need to really be aware of that could be poisonous to your pets. Of course, any kind of alcoholic beverages. Apple seeds, apricot pits, avocados, cherry pits, candy, particularly chocolate, which is very toxic to dogs, coffee, grapes, hops, which is used in beer brewing, for some of the people in Hay Fork, macadamia nuts, moldy foods. So if you're thinking, here's some, you know, get the dog, let the dog eat it. Moldy foods are not good. Mushrooms, mustard seeds, onions, and onion powder, very toxic. Peach pits, potato leaves, raisins, because, you know, we know that we have our little things that fall on the ground again. Walnuts. And tea, which is also caffeine, and tomato leaves. Salt is a big one.
Yeah, and our we always say there's a reason it's called dog food and cat food, and the better ownership are those type of people who just feed them dog food and cat food. Table scraps are not good for animals. Now, a lot of people will argue with me about that, but the healthier ones we have only been on dog food and cat food.
So
good quality dog food and cat food.
So hops that, you know, that go into beer, right?
Yes.
So, okay, I guess that means we're not going to let Snooky lick Bad Bob's face anymore when he comes over.
Well, I think it's important, Carl, that you no longer have alcohol in your house for the sake of the dog.
Well, that's I'm going to miss that dog.
Well, I've also heard that dogs, it's toxic for dogs to eat cat food. Cats can eat dog food. But dogs are not, they should not eat cat food. So we go to my folks' house, bring the dog. Automatically, we put the cat food up. And with a small dog, I probably told you how she ate some Airborne the other day. And we had to take her to Asher. They were great. And they had to give her a shot and make her regurgitate I don't know how many tablets, went through four or five tablets of the Airborne because it has zinc in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an educational process
right.
for me because zinc causes liver damage and failure. So there you go. Pass that on one more time before the holidays as we're having parties and, you know, the dogs like to try to lick the dishes when they're being put in the dishwasher.
The other thing, too, is most people still have their trees up. Be really careful with trees and with electricity and cords and all those kinds of things. I mean, if a dog's in a room, you should be with the dog and watching it. Otherwise, you could really have a disaster on your hands.
Now, do you have your tree up?
Why would anybody get a dog? I mean, there's just too many rules here. You know, I mean, you drop something on the floor, the dog eats it. You got to watch it, see if it rolls over on its back. I mean, you know, you have a Christmas tree. You know, I've had cats that climbed into the top of the tree.
You got to check the poop.
Tree's falling over. I mean, it's like, you know, and it's got tinsel coming out parts of its body.
Now,
I mean, obviously the dog and cat are still alive at the end of this.
Yeah, you realize if you're a pet owner that you are now officially a poop scooper, and it's just part of the deal. So do you still have your Christmas tree up?
Yes, we do.
How long do you keep yours up?
Well, actually, Maggie always likes to take it down on New Year's Day, and this year I've asked her for another week, and she's granted me an extension.
Yeah. I like that. We're going to take a break here. How long do you keep your tree up? This is Carl and Linda Bott here. This is Clearly News Talk Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. If you've got a question for Dr. Ray John from Haven Humane, this is a good time to ask him. We've been discussing what Haven Humane has done this past year, you know, where they're going. But one of the things that Ray mentioned during the break was there's a new kitty litter that's changing. It's changing what the surface of the earth or something. What?
Well, by accident, I met someone who was using fireplace pellets instead of the traditional sand for kitty litter, and the thing that I noticed, I was at another shelter, is there was absolutely no odor. When you have 100 cats, you have got odor like you wouldn't believe. So I did it experimentally. Well, I didn't realize it not only reduced the order, we no longer had the sand when sand comes out and gets into your lungs, the employee's lungs, it gets into the cat's lungs. We stopped having as much work to do, and the stuff was very absorbent, quick to clean, doesn't even go to the bottom of the pan. So I called a company who made pellets, and I said, I've got a suggestion for you. Change the name of your company from, I think it was Ecoline, it's a walnut product. Change your name and sell it as a cat litter. So they're coming out this week with a thing called Purr and Simple, and it basically is formerly fire pellets and now a refined cat litter that drops all odor, absorbs better, and doesn't ruin the bottom of the pan. And it's saving me a ton of work, and I don't have that cloud of dust in there all the time. So it's funny how one look at something with a different eye, and all of a sudden you've got something new. So we're kind of excited.
Are you going to get a piece of the action?
Defiantly, yes. Definitely and defiantly.
Then I'm thinking, you know, of course my mind goes there, is that, okay, you emptied all the pellets out, and, you know, that hopefully nobody makes that mistake and then burns it in their stove
You know, there's something about the odors that cats leave behind, or dogs if they, you know, urinate, but specifically cats. And I think it's people who are cat owners don't realize. They start to get immune to the fact that as soon as you walk in through the door, you know there are cats at this house.
You are, and that's why I want you two to come on down and take a visit. You'll be blown away. To have 100 cats in a two-room area and have no odor whatsoever makes the product worthwhile. My employees are thanking me.
Well, maybe we should put a little pile of that outside our house, because every cat in our neighborhood decides why we're not looking to go in the beds, which then get into, smell goes underneath the house, and when it rains, it smells like we have cats, but they're not ours. Okay,
speaking of which, do y'all pick up loose cats?
We do. If cats are on the prowl, we can get you a trap and take them. In the city of Reading, you are not allowed to have a cat outside. We don't enforce it every day, but there is a leash law, and if a cat's a nuisance, we'll come take it away. Thank you.
There's about 5 on our street, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, 241-1653 is the number for Haven Humane. 241-1653. Do yourself a favor. Go down, which we're going to do. I want a tour.
You got a deal. And anyone else who wants one, my private line is 243-4030. And if you'd like just to take a tour, bring your family down, a class down, anybody, just call us. We'd love to have you. We're open 6 days a week, from 11 to 5 is viewing time. But if you'd like a tour, we'll do it at any time. And we have a huge clinic there. We've got a huge shelter, training areas, and all kinds of walking paths. And I don't know, most people don't know, we have a beautiful lake right behind us. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's the end of the city sewer system, and it's just beautiful. You know, it's just, except for in August, it gets rough.
Oh. Oh,
you know.
But how many horses?
This has got to be a Marine. He goes, yeah, you know, it's a beautiful lake. Of course, it's the end of the city sewer system. But, you know, except for that one little time in August when the wind shifts and everybody has to put on these strange masks.
I had people doing community service not too long ago, and they were out helping me with the trees. And I was telling them about the lake. And these fellas were rather young and troublemakers, and they were looking. And I said, yeah, I usually take the boat out in the afternoon, do a little fishing. And I had to finally explain to them it was a joke, you know, it was the sewer.
Well, about how many horses do you have at the present time?
Right now we only have one.
Okay.
And we're getting the bigger animals off to rescue groups. We have for every animal we have, there is a rescue group out there that will help us. So I just don't have the manpower to do cows right now. I had a goat a couple weeks ago. I try to turn those over as fast as I can.
So, okay, the people in the North State are so good.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Everything. So we're looking then, Haven Humane is really looking for the food. And last time we had you on, we had, I mean, hundreds of pounds donated that day.
It was amazing.
That came in, and you gave it all out.
Yeah.
So anything, you know, you can go down to the stores, you can buy those 50-pound bags, and you'll be gratefully accepted out there.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Carl, it's is at the end of the year, if people would like to help donate, we're still in the hole. When I picked it up last year, we were about $335,000 in the hole. This year, right now, we're about $95,000. So we've worked it back, but it's a $2 million a year operation, and that's why I try to work it pretty hard to keep the place going.
Well, and it serves a great purpose in our community, and I think it also helps the fact that it saves money for the community too. It doesn't go through the county and the city and everything.
No. Well, thank you for being our guest today, and whatever we can get you on, and how much we admire and respect you. Ray John. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We're going to take a break here. This is Clearly News Talk Radio, KCNR 1460.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 1460. Phone lines here 605-4567. Our guest for this past segment was Dr. Ray John, CEO of Haven Humane, and he's on his way out of here now.
It's 8:55, currently about 42 degrees.
Our guest tomorrow, we're going to have, of course... tomorrow's New Year's Eve.
Wow.
And what we're going to do is, of course, open line the first hour and talk about a number of things. But then Chef John Stadelli from Anselmo Vineyards is going to be our guest. Now, a chef, you know what you're saying? But John is much more than just a chef. And nobody is just one-dimensional. He is a gent that's got strong opinions about a number of things, but he is also just an outstanding chef. And he's got some ideas about cooking for New Year's Eve and also the next day, because all the football games are on, so what can you do to have that? But, we had a lawsuit that was going on here in Reading, and it appears that a Reading interior designer sued a well-known contractor here for showing up at a business meeting dressed in a Grinch costume, like the Grinch who stole Christmas, with a giant imitation male member attached to the costume.
Oh, if you're just waking up and you're turning us on,
what is he talking about?
That is some visual.
Yeah, the Tina Hitchcock of Tina's Interior Design sued Bobby Martin for $7,500, alleging his September 30th prank had caused her emotional distress. Just reading about it is causing me emotional distress. But acting judge Timothy Pappas ruled Monday that Hitchcock failed to provide sufficient proof that her peace of mind has been invaded or that she suffered emotional distress. Obviously, Martin's conduct was not outrageous to the objectively reasonable person and was protected by the First Amendment. This First Amendment, I love the First Amendment. That means that you can get away with all types of things, including showing up at a business meeting to discuss cannabis being shops being located in the mall, and you show up in a Grinch costume with this attached as you come flopping into the room. Martin did say that
I'm noticing
he was glad it was over. He did put out an apology and a written apology and all this, saying that probably that wasn't the best thing to do. You think, huh? I wonder what other little things when he builds things, does he have add little things to the construction?
Hey, if you're browsing around the internet today, go to kcnr1460.com. Email us. Let us know what your thoughts are. Let us know what's on your mind. A future topic for a show. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be saying this today and tomorrow. Predictions. New Year's resolutions.
That's right.
What do you think is going to happen in 2010? In about 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months from now, we're going to see if your predictions came true.
And they can be funny, and they can be serious, but somebody's already sent us in something that said that Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to make a movie about the California budget actually being balanced, which is obviously a fantasy that will play just like Avatar, except not as well, because
we're going to see Avatar.
That is such a fantasy. You could believe Avatar more than you could believe that the politicians we have are actually going to balance the budget with the leadership they're getting from Schwarzenegger.
Well, anyway, set your dial to 1460, and again, email us at kcnr1460.com. Oh, we got a great lineup. We're having such a good time. Dennis Miller, we hear, is going to be maybe calling us next week. We have all kinds of surprises and another set of Sarah Palin tickets that we're going to give away.
Now, the next week we're going to be starting up our internet and town hall again on Fridays down at Tobacco and Brew, the area they have set up there for us. And we're going to try and we're going to be having one of the locals that will be running for office. So you'll be able to hear him on the show and then move to at lunchtime over to 2143 Hilltop Drive and be able to ask them questions. We'll put that over the internet. Well, one more day in this year, tomorrow. And then
we go dancing.
We go start another one.
We go dancing tomorrow night at the Elks Club with our friends, yeah, kicking the new year.
This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?